Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8. Now in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8, the Bible says, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." All right, now he didn't say that the gift is a precious stone, although precious stones are oftentimes used as gifts, particularly for men to give to their spouses. A gift is as a precious stone. In other words, very valuable. And it's also very beautiful. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. All right, then. That could be either the giver or the receiver of that gift, but we'll look at it from the standpoint that the gift is in your possession. All right? And that, therefore, it is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. That is, it's very valuable, and he knows what the value of it is. And then when he uses it, wherever it turneth, then it prospereth. So gifts that prosper, that's what we're looking at today. Gifts that prosper. Well, first thing we want to know about gifts that prosper is found in James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. The first thing we want to know about gifts that prosper is this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the most precious gift that we could possibly look at, first of all, would be any kind of a perfect gift and a good gift that was given to us by God. Because we're basically valuing the gifts, because they're like precious stones, and certainly some precious stones are more valuable than other precious stones. Well, the most valuable, prosperous gifts there are gifts that come down from the Father above. And in that light, in that category, the greatest gift of all to the world is Jesus Christ. And you know the verse by heart, or should if you don't. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. Many times when we quote John 3:16, we're thinking in terms that the gift is eternal life. And you certainly get eternal life, but the gift, And eternal life is a gift. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift that God gave the world is Jesus Christ. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave," what? "His only begotten Son." "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the gift that God gave to the world. It's greater than the gift of life itself. It's greater than creation, because this creation that you see here is going to change. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's greater than any other gift that God has ever given to man. It's the gift of his Son. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, he actually has possession of Jesus Christ, and therefore possession of eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So in possession of Jesus Christ, you are therefore in possession of eternal life. That's the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now this text here that we're studying in Proverbs that talks about the gift that is as a precious stone, Jesus Christ is as a precious stone. As a matter of fact, he's the chief cornerstone. He's a lively stone. "In the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." Well, how did the gift of Jesus Christ prosper? Well, it hasn't finished prospering, but the way that it's prospered mostly is in the salvation of literally millions of souls since Jesus Christ was given to the world. Millions of souls. There's no way to calculate how many people have actually come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and how many people will be with Jesus Christ in heaven. We know that there's an innumerable number of people there. when John sees them in Revelation, we know that there are thousands and thousands, or 10,000 times 10,000, that you can run the numbers on that. That's a whole lot of people that are up there, and those people wouldn't be there if it weren't for the gift of Jesus Christ. You talk about prospering. God wanted a big family, right? So he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they fell, and he had to run them out of there, so no longer the big family. Jesus Christ came, and now he's got all kinds of sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So he has a massive family now because of that gift. It has really prospered. It's prospered us because we have eternal life. It's prospered us because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and now for the first time in our lives we have peace. It's prospered us because we have the fellowship of God the Father and God the Son. It's prospered us because we're never alone. It's prospered us because now we've got somebody inside of us who can give us victory over sin and help us fight our battles. A lot of things like that. We've really prospered, but God's prospered also because he now has that great expanded family that he first intended to have with the creation of Adam and Eve. What a great gift that came down from the Father above that has prospered. All right, now I'll tell you another gift. Another gift that has come down from the Lord that's prospered, and that would be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols," dumb because they couldn't speak, dumb because we followed them, "even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to every man, to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now, what's the deal there? The deal is that God has given you a gift, severally. Everybody gets one at least, sometimes a couple. But God's given you a gift. And that gift could be any of these that were listed here in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. They could be some of those. They're kind of mentioned a little differently there. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth," that's a gift, "let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth," that's a gift, "with diligence. He that showeth mercy," that's a gift, "with cheerfulness." So you could have any of those kinds of gifts there. And they're given to you by the Holy Spirit. And they're good and they're perfect and they're right and you should have those. Now, why do they prosper? Because after all, that's what we're studying, gifts that prosper. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. In what respect? Because by those gifts, the body of Christ functions. Now, what's happened these days, unfortunately, and I really don't need to get sidetracked on this, but there's a group of people that are really concentrating on things like the gifts of healing and the gifts of tongues. Those are not edifying the body the way that they were originally given. Those gifts were given so that unbelievers could believe. Moses said to God in Exodus chapter 4, "How are those Jews going to believe that you are sending me?" He said, "Well, put your hand in your bosom and pull it out." He does. It's leprous. He puts it back in there. He says, "Pull it out." And now it's completely healed. Healing. And by that sign, the Jews were to believe that God had sent Moses. Then you read in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, that the Jews require a sign. And that gift of healing was a sign gift, and you'll notice in Paul's own ministry and life that he left Trophimus at Miletum sick. Why was he such a desperate character that Paul didn't want to heal him? Paul, according to Acts chapter 19, had so much power to heal he could touch a handkerchief and send it to the guy and the guy would be healed. And yet he left Trophimus on Miletum sick, according to 2 Timothy. According to 1 Timothy, he didn't even heal Timothy. He said, drink some wine. Don't drink water only. Drink some wine now for your infirmities. What's that all about? Why did that happen? Paul's last companion was Luke. Luke's a physician. What's that all about? Well, I'll tell you what that's all about. That's as the gospel went away from the Jews and started going to the Gentiles. Gentiles seek after wisdom. And all of a sudden, these types of gifts were not necessary in order to cause you and I to believe. Now, don't get me wrong. Does God still heal? Absolutely. Massively. God still heals. Every Wednesday, our folks get together, and we're always praying for somebody that's sick, getting ready to go to surgery or whatever, and we have seen God do some things that only God could do. But what you don't have today is you don't have healers like you did back then. Today, what you've got, listen, if a man could heal today, he would do exactly what God commissioned those disciples to do. He would go to the sick and he would heal them. He wouldn't set up a revival meeting and rake in millions of dollars off of people that are getting sucked into believing that the guy today has that gift. They would not be doing that. They'd go to the cancer ward. They'd go right into that cancer ward and they'd free those people from the bondage of the disease they have, and they would free them from the expense of the hospital and the doctors that have to be paid today in order to get that type of health care. And they're not doing it. And that, you know why they don't do it? Because they don't have that gift. Is God still healing? Absolutely. Do they have that gift? Not today. So don't be duped by that when we go through this thing. Now, I said I don't want to get sidetracked on that. I could go on and tell you some more things concerning the tongues deal as well. Not going to go there. If you want to know more about that, you can look it up on the website. At the end of the broadcast, we'll give you the web address there. You can check that thing out for yourself. The point is that we have a body of saved believers. And in order for that body to function, God has got to give us gifts to make that body function properly and to make it function spiritually. Otherwise, we're doing what we're doing by carnality. A fellow asked a question one time, and it was an excellent question, very thought-provoking. He said this to his men that were in the church with him. He said, what is it that we are doing today that would cease if the Holy Spirit left our church? Now, here's the point before you try to answer the question. Here's the point. If everything would continue just as it has before, then you know what? Everything is being done by man. But if the ministry would start to crumble when the Spirit of God left, then things are being done by the Spirit of God, and that's the only way they could get done. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy regarding these gifts, he said to him, don't you neglect that gift that was given to you. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gave him a gift. He said, you better use that thing. Why? That's because that's how God will minister to other people. And if the Spirit of God pulls out, the gift should go. And when the gift goes, everything's done carnally. You know, there are a lot of churches in America that would continue business as usual. You would never know the difference if the Spirit pulled out, because the Spirit's not doing the work. Now, I'd notice three or four things right quick that would change here. I mean, major league. For one thing, nobody would be edified by the preaching of the Word of God anymore. Souls wouldn't be getting saved, and people that are saved would not be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they'd be hearing about one man expounding on what he thinks the Bible says, and it would absolutely do them no good except to puff them up, because knowledge puffeth up. There'd be no charity in it at all, no real growth in it at all, no edification at all. That'd go away, and people would quit getting saved. And all of a sudden things would change regarding the giving too, because the direction of that would change. It would not be accomplishing spiritual tasks worldwide through missionaries. That would change. And that's just some of the things. Plus, prayers wouldn't be getting answered. People would, and therefore people would just quit having prayer meeting. And a lot of churches have quit having prayer meeting. Why? Spirit of God's not involved anymore. So some major things would change, and that's just touching the surface. There are other things. Lots of things would change. We have got to have the Holy Spirit here. We've got to have His gifts here in order for the body to function. Now, gifts are also given to the church, and that's the prosperity of those gifts. That's how they prosper. Gifts are also given to the church in Ephesians chapter 4 that are just a little bit different than the ones we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I know today that there are a lot of people that are still trying to revive the apostolic gifts, and so they say they're apostles today. I even had one guy call after a broadcast where I mentioned that recently, and he said, you know, where in the Bible does it say that we don't have apostles anymore? Well, you know, in the book of Revelation, they were having problems with that. They're going to. In the book of Revelation, it says, that they had to try out these guys. He said, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And I'll tell you how you find that out. You check them out, because they'll generally prophesy something that's supposed to happen. And then when it doesn't, you'll know that guy's lying. And he's trying to show you the apostolic gifts so that he can, you know, continue to function in the same level of authority that they did before. And again, he's going to have some misfires. They never had any misfires in the Bible. God healed every one of them. The only time they had a misfire, it was the disciples' fault. They couldn't get the devil out of that young boy because they didn't pray and fast. But there are people today that profess to have the gifts of healing, and they have misfires, and then they'll tell you it's your lack of faith. That's not in the Bible. So this thing about trying to be an apostle today versus what you saw in the Bible, that Bible records some things about the apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. God gave us these folks, evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets, and apostles, for the edification of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And those things have prospered because the body, the saints are perfected through preaching and teaching the Word of God. They are perfected through the work of the ministry. They are edified in the body of Christ by evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and so forth from the words of God. And those are gifts. They're gifts to the church. That's what he said here. He said, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What did he give? Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God gave those to the church to edify and strengthen and perfect and do the work of the ministry. So those are some things given from God Almighty, and they're great. Jesus Christ, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts to the church. And they prosper, and they are as a precious stone. Now, there are other gifts as well. They're gifts that you give to somebody else, and they're going to prosper. All right, for instance, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, notice this. In verses 11 to 15, I won't read the whole thing. Well, maybe I will. We've got time. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now the context is here, God loveth the cheerful giver. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are all about. All right, and then he says here, number one, thanksgiving to God. Number two, verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, that's the second thing, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God, that's the third thing, for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and to all men, and by their prayer for you, that's the fourth thing, which long after you, the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now here's, you know what this is? This is simply you giving somebody else some money, like a preacher, like a missionary, and sometimes maybe another brother in Christ when he's got a need. Ordinarily he can take care of, but in this particular case, he can't. He needs some help, like a medical bill or something like that. God will prosper that gift. How? Number one, in thanksgiving to God. Number two, in the supply of his want. And that's a tremendous thing. He that gathered little had nothing under, and he that gathered much had nothing over. I said that. I butchered that, but he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. It's a way for God to have an equality in the church. The third thing is glory to God, and the fourth thing is they're praying for you. And you talk about a gift prospering. Well, that gift is accomplishing a tremendous amount when thanksgivings are being given to God, glory is being given to God, the supply of the want is met, and they're praying for you. What a tremendous thing. That's the gift, see. Another way that a gift prospers is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And here, this is that great, great promise in the New Testament. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Wow! What a tremendous promise of God. What a tremendous promise of God. And he said, men will give that into your bosom. That gift will prosper in God's return to you as it's needed. In other words, the best place in the world you can make an investment to cover future needs is in God's hands. I realize that can be a little spooky at times when you're thinking about, you know, what am I going to live on when I retire and stuff like that. So he's not telling you to blow all of your common sense. He's just telling you that when you want to lay something up with God, there's going to be, and that need arises, there's going to be something there for you. That thing will be in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. We saw that as a church. There were needs come up to missionaries when we were building this building that were immediate, they were necessary, they had to be met. We were in a position to be able to meet them, we thought, and we did. And there were times when, I mean, we were building the building, did not have all the money we needed to finish this building. We started with about 60% of the money that we needed in the bank. Thank God for that. But these guys came up and had necessities, and you know what happened? The same year we were building the building, missions giving increased by 40%. And when we moved into this building, we moved in paid for. God supplied that need. We saw it happen as a church. God prospered those gifts. And we didn't give so that God would prosper the gift. We knew the promise. We gave because there was a need, and we were in a position to fill that need, and we believed that God wanted us to fill that need. And then God made good on his promise. We didn't give to get. We gave because of the need. We gave because God moved our hearts that had to happen, whether God paid other bills or not. But God came through. That gift prospered, and it was a tremendous thing. All right, I'll tell you something else. A gift that you give somebody else, it will prosper in that it will open the way before great men. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, 16, the Bible says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And I'm reminded about that, what Queen Sheba did. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she brought all kinds of presents to him. Why? She wanted wisdom. And, you know, he opened up the store to her, boy. He told her all kinds of things, answered all of her questions. She said, man, the half hadn't been told me back in my country. And that made an opening. When Esther finally approached Ahasuerus, she said, hey, come to my banquet of wine. And then she said, come to my banquet that I've prepared for you. And that opened the way for her. That's a tremendous thing. And so that's something now politicians and lobbyists have used the same thing. And I think that's probably been perverted probably into a something akin to a bribe in many respects these days to try to get in before the politicians so that they can have their way with the business climate and so forth, you know, being what it is. That's taking this thing out past where God wanted it to go, using it for the wrong things. So what we've looked at today is that there are gifts that prosper. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ, and the way it prospers is in the salvation of millions of souls and in the building of God's family. I mean, making it bigger. The second kind of gift we look at that came down from above is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they prosper in that the body of Christ can function here on the earth because of what God's given you. And you know, wherever God's given you that gift, you ought to use that gift for the benefit of other people. Really and truly. Now, what God's called me to do is pastor and teach. And I think the strength is more on teaching than it is on preaching. I do a good bit of it. But God uses that to help people to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's used the preaching to lead many souls to Jesus Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. That's how we're functioning. And then there are gifts to the church. Your pastor, if he's a God-called man, filled with the Holy Spirit, he is your gift from God to help you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to allow God to prosper by that gift that he's given you. You say, how? You ought to show up to more services. If he's there preaching on Sunday night, you ought to be there preaching on Sunday night. Listening on Sunday night. If he's there teaching on Wednesday night, you ought to be there listening on Wednesday night and allowing that stuff that he's prepared to help you grow. Now, if he's not a gift to the church, he's just a hireling, well, then, there's going to be some problems there. I have other advice for you there, but that's another matter. But if he's a God-called man, spirit-filled, and he's a gift to the church, then you ought to be there every time he's there, as often as you can be there, to be able to hear from God the things that he has. When God brings you special meetings and brings in evangelists and other pastors, you ought to be there for those meetings. Because God's going to tell you something through those men that is going to be able to help you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift. So, and then as far as you're concerned, your giving is prosperous in that it causes thanksgiving and glory to God. It supplies somebody else's want, and they're going to be praying for you, and that's a help. Your gift is also an insurance policy that when you have a need, God will be there to meet that need, Luke 6:38. And then also that to know that a gift opens a way before great men, according to the Bible, and it's mostly an Old Testament practice, but there are times when maybe you need a preacher to really do something for you or pray for you or whatever, and you send them a little gift over there to help them out in the ministry, and they respond to you, try to help you out. I'll tell you honestly, a lot of ministries use that. That's why we don't ask for money here, because we don't want you to think that's what it takes for you to be able to get our ear. You need help, and we can help you somehow spiritually. And you email us or call us looking for spiritual help, we're going to help you. Lord willing, we're willing to do it because we're here to try to be a help to you. So that's it on gifts that prosper from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 8, and hopefully that'll help you understand some things there. And give you something to chew on there to help you grow some more in Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.